This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Patreon. As a creator, it can feel like you're making stuff for practically everyone but yourself. Patreon is a membership platform where your fans can directly support your work with paid subscriptions. No advertisers, no algorithms, just steady, reliable income and the freedom to make what you love. Sign up today at patreon.com. Today's episode is also sponsored by Headspace. Headspace is meditation made simple. Get a free one-month trial when you visit headspace.com/accidentalcreative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of the new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold or at motivationcode.com. It has been quite a year. I don't think I've ever said those words and meant more by saying them. I don't think any of us are going to be terribly disappointed to see 2020 in the rearview mirror here soon. Although, you know, we're moving into a new year, but a lot of things are going to stay the same, at least for a little while. But I've been doing a lot of reflection in the last couple of weeks. And in the course of that reflection, I've come up with kind of five big things I think I've learned this year, things that have been solidified for me, lessons that could only have been learned in the midst of 2020. And so today on the show, we're not going to have an interview. I'm going to share with you my five big learnings from 2020. I'm going to share with you why I think these were my big learnings and also some of the reasons why I think I'm going to apply these learnings moving forward and make sure that they're always a part of how I consider strategy in my business and in my life in general as I move forward into 2021 and beyond. So today, my five big learnings from 2020. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Headspace. So life can be stressful, even under normal circumstances. But 2020, as we were just talking about, has challenged even the most difficult times of life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes, and that's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a three-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. What I love about Headspace is that there is truly a meditation for any circumstance. It doesn't matter if you have a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It doesn't matter how long you have available. There's something you can do right now to help you regain your focus, to reduce your stress. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/accidentalcreative. That's headspace.com/accidentalcreative for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now, so go to headspace.com/accidentalcreative today. And we thank Headspace for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's talk my five big learnings for 2020. There are actually many, many more than this that showed up on the list as I was kind of reviewing the year, but these are the five, I think the five really big ones that really, really came to the surface, really became apparent in 2020 that I felt like were the ones that I want to focus on moving forward as I'm doing strategic planning for the future. All right. So number one, these aren't in any particular order. It's not like this is the most important one and number five isn't really quite as important. They're all sort of the same level of importance. Number one, diversify your portfolio before you need it. Okay. So in the past, I have shared often on this show about the importance for creative professionals, especially freelancers, and I've written about this and even done podcast episodes in the past about this, the importance of making sure that you have a diversity of income streams in your portfolio. If you have one or two clients that are paying 80 or 90% of your bills, it might work for a while and it might work for a long while, but that is a recipe for potential disaster if anything happens to those few revenue sources. And so a couple of years ago, I realized this is something I needed to really be focused on in my own business because truthfully, you know, speaking consulting was about 90% of my income. And started working on some other revenue streams to sort of supplement that, that were maybe independent of my ability to go out and, you know, be with people, to be physically present. And I'm really grateful a couple of years ago that that happened, because this year it really was a tremendous lifesaver. Because as you can imagine, you know, the first 3 months of the year, generally, first two and a half months were really good months for me. You spoke a lot, was out traveling, doing a lot of events, things of that nature. And then basically that revenue completely stopped for a number of months because, you know, everything didn't transition to virtual immediately. You know, it took a season for companies and conference organizers and whatnot to figure out how they were going to deal with the fact that there were no more in-person meetings. And so by the fall, then, you know, there were, I was doing virtual events and virtual training sessions and workshops and things of that nature. But there was a period of several months where you basically all of that teaching training revenue just kind of stopped. And again, I'm really grateful that a couple of years ago I had thought through that portfolio balance of revenue streams, and it made a significant difference this year. So a couple of things I want to offer to you. Number one, think about your diversity of clients, especially if you're freelancing. You know, are you relying on a couple of clients to provide the vast majority of your income, your business income? If so, you need to think about how you can increase the diversity of your client portfolio, even if it means you're just working a little bit with other people, but just get your toe in the door in some other organizations or with some other clients so that you make sure that you have at least some diversity reflected within your portfolio of income with your clients. Now, if you're working for an organization, maybe you're somebody who has a job, which, you know, and you work inside of an organization, that doesn't preclude you from thinking about diversity in terms of your income portfolio. You know, you tend to think, well, you know, I've got a job, somebody's paying me money to show up every day, and so that's 100% of my income, and that's fine. But you need to be thinking, maybe it's in terms of investment income, maybe it's in terms of doing a little bit of freelance work on the side in whatever capacity you can. It's still good to be thinking about yourself as an entrepreneur. Even though you have a job, you're building a portfolio of income inside your job and outside of your job, whether that be through freelancing or investments or whatever it is. It's still good to be thinking about that diversity of your portfolio before you need it. Because listen, the time's going to come when we're all going to need diversity in our portfolio of income, our portfolio of relationships. So a couple of things I would encourage you to think about as it relates to this. Just like any good financial portfolio, you want to rebalance your portfolio regularly. So, you know, something that could be maybe, let's say, 25% of your income suddenly becomes 60 or 70% of your income, you know, and it sort of takes over more of your business. Well, you need to think about that in terms of, you know, is that really the healthiest thing for my business, or do I need to rebalance my portfolio and make sure that that's not taking over too much of my book of business? And so you need to rebalance regularly, just like you rebalance your financial portfolio regularly to make sure that it's reflective of the level of risk you're willing to take. And then also, I encourage you to seek non-dependencies of income. And what I mean by this is sometimes when we're diversifying our income portfolio, it's easy just to kind of branch out from one thing to another into areas that are dependent upon one another. And so maybe it's one client gives you a new book of business, but it's still tied, it's still dependent on that one client. So that one client is the weak point. If that one client goes away, all of that book of business goes away. So just think about how you can grow a book of business that is not dependent on any one particular linchpin. Okay, you don't want a situation where if one thing happens, everything goes away. I thought that my speaking and training business was really resilient because over the course of time, as I've worked through recessions and non-recession times, and you know, essentially there's always a place I can go to speak, to train, because there's always some sector that's doing well. The only thing that could completely make that go away was global pandemic. And here we are, the once in a century global pandemic, right? And so, you know, for me, building non-dependencies of income in my diversification of my portfolio this year looks like doing more online training, online speaking. And that's going to continue. Even once in-person events continue to happen, I'm still going to have in my portfolio some degree of online training because I've figured out how to do it, first of all. But second of all, it's not dependent on the ability to get together in person with people. Now, I'm very much looking forward to being in front of people again, speaking and training. But that's just another way that I'm building resilience. I'm diversifying my portfolio. And that's really what we want to do. We want to diversify and create resilience within our income. Okay, so that's the first big learning for this year, is diversify your portfolio before you need it. I really, really urge you to think about it. And again, maybe you work for a company, maybe you're collecting a paycheck. That's fine. Still, how can you diversify your income so you create some stability, you create a portfolio that is resistant to any kind of unexpected changes, you know, so that you can weather the storm, all right? So diversify your portfolio before you need it. The second thing is it's really important that we have a break the glass strategy. So I wrote about this in Herding Tigers. I wrote about how so many organizations, you know, when they get into a situation where something surprising happens, it's like they never thought about it before. Oh my gosh, there's a, you know, tremendous amount of work that just came in from a client that has to be done over the weekend. Whatever are we going to do? As if it's never happened before. And I argued in Herding Tigers that you need to have a break the glass strategy. And by that, what I mean is you need to have a plan for what's going to happen when inevitably something surprising derails your current strategy. And so that could mean all of a sudden you have a tremendous amount of work that's dumped in your lap, or it could mean, you know, all of a sudden you can't get together with people and your entire business is dependent on getting together with people. What strategy would you possibly use to help you get through that time? So this is something that I've been thinking about a lot. I need to develop some contingency plans for my business and for my life. So what happens when you face the unexpected? Where are resources going to come from? And do you have resources set aside for those moments? Are you preparing for that inevitable thing? Are you building a storm shelter, so to speak, right? Your, you know, apocalypse bunker. And I don't mean literally, but I'm saying, like, are you stocked up with supplies, with resources? Do you know how the work is going to get done? That's very important, right? What's going to happen with your time? How is the time going to get spent in the face of that urgency? So I know several people I've been working with have been spending a big chunk of the last several months rebuilding their systems and their processes in order to deal with the uncertainties of COVID and remote work and all of that. And just about the time that they get their new systems built, it's going to be time for everybody to go back to work in person, right? And again, had we thought about that ahead of time, had we thought about what that break the glass strategy was going to look like, it would have made a vast difference in terms of preparation and also in terms of the ability to leverage opportunities during this season. So think about your break the glass strategy. Do you have one going into 2021? And are you setting aside resources? Are you setting aside funds? Are you setting aside, you know, do you know who you'll call in order to get the work done? Maybe you're a manager who might need to hire some freelancers or something like that in order to get work done. How is that going to happen for you? You need to have a break the glass strategy in the event of an emergency. So that is my second big learning for 2020. The third big learning, this is a little bit more esoteric and philosophical in nature, is you have to embrace the flow of the river. Embrace the flow of the river. So poet John O'Donohue once wrote, "I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding." And I love that imagery because I think that describes perfectly the way that 2020 affected me and the way that I sort of have learned that, you know what, I spend a lot of my time trying to fight the inevitable, and I spend a lot of my time trying to resist things that are just going to happen regardless of whether I resist them or not. And so what I've learned, I think, in 2020 is that there are going to be things that happen beyond my control, and I can't fight those things. You know, Stephen Covey once wrote about our sphere of concern and our sphere of influence. And our sphere of concern is always going to be much bigger than our sphere of influence. Our sphere of concern is anything that crosses our field of view that concerns us. And so obviously, you know, COVID, global pandemic, macro economy, all of those things are within my sphere of concern. But I have a limited sphere of influence. I mean, there's only so much I can do about any of those things. And I can't control those macro trends. I can't control what the government does. I can't control, you know, what happens with the pandemic. I can't control what my neighbors do or my city does or my state does. I can't control any of those things. All I can control is what is within my direct sphere of influence. And so to some degree, there's a certain amount of stop trying to fight what's happening in your circle of concern and instead just focus on what's in your circle of influence. And I think that's what I've learned so much in 2020. I think I've learned which battles are worth fighting and which battles are worth joining and which battles are just worth not even acknowledging. So I was at, in 2020, before all of this happened, was at an event with author Bob Goff. And I will never forget him, as he was speaking, saying that so often when something really unbelievably terrible happens, you know, in some capacity, he'll say, "I wonder what'll happen next." Right? Just this kind of like, I wonder what'll happen next. That's so weird. I wonder what'll happen next. And I am often guilty of just getting completely caught up in some of the craziness and some of the you know, cultural madness and worrying about things that are beyond my control. And I think I've realized in 2020 that I spent a lot of time focused on my circle of concern rather than really zeroing in on my circle of influence. And so one of my mantras going into 2021 is going to be just embrace the flow of the river. I mean, if you're in the middle of a river, there's no reason to try to fight it and swim upstream. You're not going to get anywhere. You might as well just embrace the flow of the river, because wherever the river is going is where you're going anyway, right? So there are some things that are worth fighting and there are some things that are not worth fighting. So the big lesson, I think, for me and the big encouragement that I have for you is in 2021, focus on your sphere of influence and focus less on your sphere of concern, because there's nothing you can do about so many of those things that are happening out there, but you can always do something about your sphere of influence. And I often like to say when I'm speaking to groups of people, listen, very few of us are called to change the world. Very few of us are called to change the world, but every single one of us is called to change the world around us. And so that's what we should be focused on, is changing the very world around us. And so that's what I mean by embracing the flow of the river. All right, I'm going to share number four and number five with you in just a minute. Before I do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Patreon. So as a creator, it can feel like you're making stuff for practically everyone but yourself. Patreon is a creator-founded membership platform where you can build a reliable income stream to fuel your creative independence. No advertisers, no algorithms, no mainstream gatekeepers holding your paycheck or telling you what to do. On Patreon, the people who love what you make can directly support it with paid subscriptions. And in return, they'll get access to exclusive content and custom rewards. Find the creative freedom to do your best work and the financial stability to make it possible. So if you're an illustrator, a video creator, a podcaster, an artist, or a creative person of any kind, sign up today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com and start creating on your own terms. All right, number four, my number four big learning from 2020 is a stimulated mind equals a stimulated life. Over the last 9 months, there have been several moments where I have felt deeply engaged, like I'm doing the best work of my life, fully productive, fully satisfied with the work that I'm doing, very proud actually of the work that I was doing in those moments. And there have been a handful of moments where, just like with everybody, there has been an ebb in my productivity, or an ebb in my engagement, or an ebb in my satisfaction. And I noticed a pattern. And that pattern is this. In those moments when I am most engaged, most excited, most enthused, most fully productive and focused, I am typically engaged in study of some particular area that is interesting to me, intriguing to me, and really forcing me to have to think in new ways. And in those moments where I experienced a lull, it was often because during my study time, I wasn't really engaged in studying a topic that was terribly interesting to me. Maybe I was just, you know, studying something to get ahead of my work a little bit, or studying something because it was kind of a popular topic, or something was going on in culture, so I was kind of reading about it. But I wasn't really studying something that was stimulating me in the same way. And so that's why I came up with this principle: a stimulated mind equals a stimulated life. Those patterns played out for me in a profound way this year. And so some of the moments, the seasons of this last 9 months, when I should have been probably most disengaged and frustrated and depressed, were actually moments when I felt really engaged, really focused, really deeply involved in my work. And it was because I was appropriately stimulating my mind. So this is a really important principle for us going into 2021. Okay, as things return more to normal, as we have more options available to us, as we're out in the world and maybe we have fewer restrictions in terms of where we can go and what we can do, it's still very important that we have time set aside for stimulating our mind, for, as Stephen Sample from USC called it, communing with great minds, right? For immersing ourselves in the thoughts of others, for thinking systemically. It's very important that we have that time set aside in our life to ensure that we are keeping ourselves fresh and viable and forward-thinking, yes, of course, but also to stimulate a more fully engaged life, okay? So a stimulated mind equals a stimulated life. So A, when are you going to set aside time for study? Because this is very important. So when are you going to set aside time for filling your mind with valuable stimuli? But B, what are you going to study that's going to intrigue you, that's going to stoke your curiosity, that's going to cause you to think about the world in new ways? Okay, so I want you to think about those couple of questions as we go into 2021 and think about how you're going to keep your mind stimulated as we move forward. All right, and number five, my last big learning for the year is this. Don't judge people by your measure for yourself. Don't judge people by your measure for yourself. The word of the year for me, and frankly for many leaders that I've been working with over the course of the past several months, has been grace. We need to give grace to people around us. Now, that does not mean there isn't accountability for poor work. Of course not. We have to have accountability for getting the job done. That doesn't mean that we never set high standards and expect more from other people. No, of course not. We definitely should do that. Okay, those are definitely important things. But here's where we have to be very careful to draw the line, especially right now. And this is something, again, I've been sharing with leaders in really candid moments, leaders who are struggling with this. Every single person, when they come to a workplace, right, every single person is essentially standing on the same foundation. The workplace is the great equalizer. We all have the same resources. We have the same workspaces. We all have access to the same tools. We're all in the same place. You know, we're all kind of here together. It's the great equalizer. When we're working remotely, every single person has a different experience. So there might be one person who's working remotely from their beach house in Florida, right? With the windows open and it's beautiful and sunny. And maybe you know, they're not in a relationship and they have all this space, you know, they can do whatever they want with their time and their space. Maybe somebody else is working in a 3-bedroom apartment with 4 kids, all of whom are trying to learn at home, and they're trying to get their job done and hit their meeting schedule while they're taking care of their kids and in a really tight space, and also trying to homeschool as much as they can because the kids can't figure it out on their own. And that's just a very, very different experience, right? And so it's easy for us to forget that in normal times, even in normal times, people are coming from different environments into the workplace, and there are going to be little differences, but at least in the workplace is kind of the great equalizer. But when we're all working remotely, we each have unique burdens that we're bearing, and not everybody has access to the same resources and the same freedom and the same space that everyone else does. And so the word of the year, I believe, is grace. We need to extend grace to one another. We need to extend grace emotionally to one another, because sometimes people just aren't going to be up to the task emotionally, and we have to extend grace to them. Sometimes work might suffer right now a little bit. Now, if there's contrition, if there's recognition that work is suffering, then there absolutely needs to be grace extended. If somebody is defiant and they're willingly just not doing their work, that's a very different conversation to have, right? But generally speaking, my encouragement to you, and this is based on what I'm encouraging myself to do in 2021, is we all, as a culture, especially right now, we all need to extend more grace to one another. You know, I am tired of us looking at one another like the enemy. I am. We are not the enemy. We need to extend grace to one another and to meet one another where each of us is, and recognize that we're all coming from different circumstances. And as we come together, we have to make sure that we're extending some understanding toward the other person and some freedom and grace to sort of approach life and work with whatever platform they happen to have at that given moment, okay, and whatever bandwidth they happen to be able to bring to life and work at that moment. We're all dealing with this differently emotionally, mentally, and physically, you know, frankly. So let's extend grace to one another in 2021. That would be a huge, huge, huge message moving forward. We have, friends, walked through a global pandemic, and we're almost to the other side of it. And that's a common experience that we all have that should hopefully in some capacity increase our ability to empathize, and should increase our ability to recognize how resilient we truly are, both in terms of our work and just in terms of our emotional resilience, and hopefully should help us to learn from this experience and apply those learnings moving forward in new and more profound ways to do better work and to be more deeply engaged. So don't judge other people by your measure for yourself. Extend grace. Okay, so just quickly, quick recap, my five big learnings for the year. Number one, diversify your portfolio before you need it. Number two, have a break the glass strategy. Always, always, always. Where are the resources coming from? Where are the funds coming from? Where's the time coming from? Number three, embrace the flow of the river. You know, embrace Bob Goff's thing of, I wonder what will happen next, right? Number four, a stimulated mind equals a stimulated life. Make sure that you're stimulating your mind with valuable things that are keeping you engaged and fresh. And number five, don't judge people by your measure for yourself. Instead, extend grace, especially if you're a leader. Right now is a time to extend grace to the people on your team. Yes, yes, accountability. Yes, absolutely. But accountability tinged with grace. Okay? Hey, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.